A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi-yo. Welcome to Kids Birth Tales. My brother's name is Ollie and I'm Die Boy. Thank you for listening from Mommy's podcast. See you later.
Kia ora and welcome back to Kiwi Birth Tales. I am your host, Jordan. I'm a mum of two. I've got Jai, who's 4, and Ali, who's 2.5. I also have a business baby, which is Your Birth Project. Your Birth Project is the online hypnobirthing course you need if you're pregnant. You need it. It is going to help you create your best birth. It is going to help you feel like you've got the knowledge, the education, the confidence to have your best birth. You are going to be able to make informed decisions and choices when they come up, and you will know everything that you need to know about just creating your best birth environment and having your best birth. Your partner, birth partner, will also know all of those things too. So make sure you go and check out Your Birth Project. I've recently released an app. So if you've got an iPhone or you're an iOS user, search for Your Birth Project in the app. You can either purchase through the app or on the website. And then once you're in, you can access everything on your phone, which is amazing. And if you want to hear more about like testimonials or how people find the course, then you can head to Your Birth Project on Instagram or the website www.yourbirthproject.com and check out the testimonials there. Okay, today I am talking to lovely Lauren, and Lauren shares her birth story of her son Artie, as well as some other complications in earlier pregnancies that led to pregnancy losses. So she talks us through that experience and then into her pregnancy with Artie and her birth story from there. I really love speaking to Lauren. I think she's got a lot of really interesting things to share, and I know that her episode is going to resonate with a lot of you. So super grateful to Lauren for being on the podcast today. Before we jump into the episode, wherever you are listening, I would love for you to hit the follow or subscribe button. And if you have the option of leaving a review, I'd love to hear from you. If you have the option of leaving stars, then that would be fab too, because it helps other people to find the podcast and it just helps with engagement on the podcast. So always grateful for you being here. Grateful if you leave a review or have a follow or subscribe option. That would be fab too. Okay, let's jump into the episode. I hope you enjoy. Hey, Lauren, thanks so much for joining me on the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast today.
Morning, Jordan. I'm excited to be here.
We're going to hear all about your mum life today, but why don't you talk us through initially a little bit about you and who is in your family?
Cool. I am Lauren, and I'm married to my husband, Scott. We have a Labrador Harvey, who's almost 3, and 6-week-old little Artie, and we live in Tauranga.
I love the name Artie. Ali was almost an Artie. That's such a cute name. So cute.
Oh, thank you. It was the only one we could agree on, to be honest.
Yeah, so hard. So hard. We'll get to that. amazing. So do you want to take us through what the journey to pregnancy was like for you and Scott?
Yeah, cool. It wasn't a long journey, but it was like a bit of an emotional roller coaster, to be honest. After we got married, like, we weren't in any rush to start a family, but it had been quite a full-on couple of years. Like, we planned a wedding, we'd bought a house, we got a puppy, which was hectic, changed jobs, all that kind of stuff. And then after we got married, life just like really chilled out, which was really nice for a time. But then I kind of was like, okay, like, what next? and then it was about the start of 2023 that I was kind of like, okay, I'm going to have a baby. Scott was like, cool, great. Let's give this a shot. And like, honestly, we were pretty chill about it. I'd been tracking my cycle for forever as contraception, so I felt pretty like confident around the timings. It was then the very next month in February that we were looking at a positive pregnancy test, and we were just in shock, like, holy shit, this is like actually happening. It was exciting though, and I think it was also just like a massive relief of, oh, this can happen for us. Yeah. Like, I think I actually deep down had a lot of fear around that. And it was about a week later, I got some bloods done and my HCG came back really low. It was like in the 20s kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'd done enough research to know at that point that, like, this was on the way down. Like, it was not on the way up.
Yeah.
And then it was a couple of days after that that I started bleeding. So that was, like, quite hard, to be honest. But I guess there was a lot of reassurance in how quickly it happened. And, yeah, it was nice and early. But then from that point, I just, like, really made it my mission of, like, okay, I want to be pregnant now. And just switched into really just treating it like a science experiment.
Yeah.
So it was then, like, a couple of months later in May, again, like, a few days before my period, but I just, like, knew again. I was like, okay, we're on here. Got really crampy, had these, like, weird hot flushes. took another test, and again, it, like, came back positive, and I was like, oh, my gosh, here we go again kind of thing. Super excited. I was like, you know, the first time was bad luck. Doesn't usually happen twice. But then I just was still quite anxious, went straight on to getting bloods done, and again, they just came back really low. And it was really hard because I was like, oh, you know, one time's bad luck. Like, the second time, I was just had a lot of fear of, like, is this my body? Is it fighting it? Like, is it, like, ever going to happen for us kind of thing? Yeah.
Yeah. And did you go, like, did you have conversations with your GP after those blood tests? Or what was sort of happening for you in terms of what next?
So the blood tests were through my midwife.
Okay.
And then after that, I went to my GP and I was like, look, like, this has happened twice. And she was like, I know, I'm really sorry. Like, it's really hard, but it is really common. And we actually don't usually investigate until it's happened three times. That's how common it is. So, but she was really good. She was lovely. And she was like, look, I'm happy to run all these extra tests. We'll just do comprehensive bloods, like, find out what's going on. And thankfully, those all came back, like, fine, normal. And it, there was, like, a little bit of silver lining too. Like, we had a holiday booked to go to Bali in, like, a couple of weeks' time. And I was like, okay, you know, at least I'm not going to be, like, 7 weeks pregnant. I can have a cocktail. I can have a massage. Let's just, like, enjoy this holiday kind of thing. Yeah. I think it gets hard when you start seeing, like, pregnancy announcements of, like, due in November. And you're like, I was meant to be due in November. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And did your midwife say, or your GP say, like, just keep trying, try again, take a break? Like, what was the feedback you were getting?
It was just like, just keep trying. Like, you're young, you're healthy. This is really common. You'll be right kind of thing. Come back if it happens again. So, yeah, from there we, like, went to Bali, had honestly the best holiday of my entire life. I was so carefree and I just, like, I was like, oh, well, it's going to happen when it happens. Had lots of cocktails, massage, like, every day. And then we were actually at the airport getting ready to come home. And I started getting these weird, like, cramps. And we were sitting on the plane and I was having, like, the hot flushes again. I was like, oh, my God. I just, like, didn't say anything to Scott. I was just kind of like, oh, it's going to be what it's going to be. I'll find out eventually. So got home from our holiday. And then the next day he went to work and I was meant to be working from home and I was sitting there just kind of like stewing, like, I just need to know. So I went and did another test and sure enough, this like faint little line came up and I was like, oh my gosh, my heart just sunk. It was like, I wanted to be really excited, but it was just like, oh God, here we go again.
And did you feel like, because I know there'll be lots of people listening to the podcast who've either had like a pregnancy loss or might be even experiencing like you, you know, those early sort of pregnancy losses and multiple occurrences of them. Did you feel in your heart, were you like, oh my gosh, like the same thing's just going to happen again. I'm going to get my bloods done. Were you really anxious about that? Or were you trying to be optimistic? Yeah. How was that for you?
It was hard because I like, had a lot of anxiety. I almost just like didn't let myself believe it. And even like Scott came home from work that day, I left the positive test on the bench. And even when I just said to him, like, look, I'm pregnant again, the look on his face was like, oh, like, are we excited? And it, I think it's funny because you see so many of, of these videos of like telling my husband I'm pregnant. Everyone's just like ecstatic. And that was just like not our journey. And that's so fine. But everyone is so different.
Yeah.
But absolutely. So that was the third time in 5 months. But that was little Artie, so he pulled through.
And so did you do the same thing in terms of getting your bloods done and all of that? And obviously it was a different experience this time around, so talk us through that.
Yeah, so from then I went back to the same midwife that I'd been talking to and I was like, look, I'm pregnant again, can I get some bloods done ASAP? And she was like, yep, sweet. Got those done, and this time they came back way higher. Mm-hmm. And this time too, I was on to like doing a test pretty much every day. Like, it was a big mental game, but every time I saw that line getting darker and darker, it would just like relieve a lot of the stress.
Yeah. And did you, like, in terms of a midwife, was she available to take you on again for this time? And was that who you like wanted to go with?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I was super keen on the midwife system. Yeah, cool. And I'd actually, the first time around, just shamelessly messaged a couple of people that I knew lived close to me and had had babies recently. And I was like, who was your midwife?
Yeah.
And they actually like both said the same person. And I was sweet. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. And yeah, I loved her. She was amazing.
Yeah, awesome. Nice. And so talk us through, like, you've done your bloods, and obviously they're really different this time to what your first two experiences were. Did you feel reassured by that? Did it, like, help with the anxiety, or were you still feeling like something could go wrong?
I honestly thought that, like, once I got past the point that I'd been at before, that I would just be, like, totally carefree. Yeah. But to be honest, I wasn't. Mm. Even just driving to that first dating scan at, like, 7 weeks, I was just, like, a nervous wreck. Mm. But there was a little heartbeat and everything was just tracking as it should. Yep. Dates were being on. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I honestly don't think it was until the 12-week scan that a lot of the anxiety eased. And then again at the 20-week scan.
Yeah. Awesome. And how were you feeling in your first trimester? Did you have many pregnancy symptoms?
Yeah, just like pretty standard first trimester kind of thing. I just felt really tired, hungover, hungry.
Yeah.
Had to eat before I got out of bed in the morning. We just like snack all day. I was eating like ginger nuts and salt and vinegar chips at my desk at work at one point. But that all kind of went away around that 13-week mark.
Yeah, awesome. And did you do, I know you mentioned like the 12 and 20-week scans, did you do all of the standard testing in New Zealand, like gestational diabetes tests and everything like that?
Yeah, for the most part, we also did the NIPT test at 10 weeks. Like, again, I was like, to Scott, I just want to do this for my peace of mind. Mm. And he was like, yeah, sweet as. Which was also cool finding out the gender so early.
Yeah. Did you do, like, a gender reveal or anything like that?
Oh, we got a cake and we just cut it with our friends and with some family, which was really nice.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I wasn't super keen on the glucose tolerance test. I just kind of gave that a miss initially. And I also ended up having quite a lot more scans. He didn't really behave at the 20-week one, so we had to do that again.
Yeah.
And then had a couple of growth scans at the end. Check on his growth.
Yeah, did they miss, like, were they unable to find, I actually think I might have had a similar experience my second pregnancy, like they were unable to find or take certain pictures at the 20-week scan, so you have to go back, is that what happened?
Yeah, it was quite reassuring because they did all of his organs and they were like, yeah, all the organs are sweet. He was just like tucked into my hip and like facing back, so they couldn't get that like side profile that they needed to get.
Yeah.
So my 20-week scan photo is like ghastly. But then we went back a couple of weeks later and he got the little nice little side profile. So that was good.
Awesome. Very nice. And did you do antenatal courses, birth education, anything like that in your pregnancy?
Yeah, a lot. Definitely a bit of a researcher, and I just wanted to know all that I could. Mm. I read that Ina May's Guide to Childbirth, really enjoyed that. Did the Your Birth Project course, loved that, so good. And it was funny because I've been listening to the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast for years and like loved it. But when I was pregnant, it was almost like I only wanted to consume positive birth stories. Yeah. Like it was just like really weird. And even we also did the Hatched antenatal, the in-person one in Tauranga, which was really cool. But yeah, it's quite funny because they get you to like lay out these cards with your birth preferences. Like it might say like epidural on one side and no epidural on the other. So you lay out all your cards and then they're like, okay, just like flip five over because trust me, like some things aren't going to go to plan. And in my head, I was like, no, like, I'm preparing for this. Like, my birth is going to go to plan.
Yeah, awesome, cool. And what about preparing for birth? Were you doing, like, antenatal expressing? Were you doing raspberry leaf tea? Talk us through, what the end of your pregnancy looked like.
Cool, yeah, I was doing all the things, basically. Yeah. I did the antenatal expressing. I didn't get a heap at first, but eventually, like, it got a little bit easier. I think it was just kind of cool to figure out how that all works.
Yeah, it's such a weird, like, I feel like when it's your first time being pregnant and having a baby, it's such an odd thing. And then once the baby's here, you're like, oh, that is really
so normal.
The most normal part of it.
Totally. I wasn't super keen on the raspberry leaf tea, but I took this supplement called Birth Prep and Recovery, which was just like a high dose of raspberry leaf. So got that in, ate the dates. I had a Swiss ball at home, and most nights I would do like this little circuit that Instagram told me was good for getting baby in a good position. I don't think it did me any favors in the end, to be honest, but it just felt good to feel like you were like doing something, you know?
I can resonate with that. It's like you just have no control over a lot of things, and doing that is like something that you can control.
Totally. Oh, I also got acupuncture from 35 weeks.
Yeah.
I was really keen on that.
Yeah, nice.
And even just like I found it really good for my mind. Like I just felt so relaxed after a session.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And what was your birth plan? So you said like you felt quite strongly about what you wanted for your birth. So talk us through what that was and sort of what you thought you wanted it to look like.
Cool. Well, basically all of the women on my mum's side of the family have just been like great births, like real quick labors, never any drugs. There's never been time, just like super textbook, no complications. And I was like, cool. Like these are my genetics. That's going to be me as well. I really wanted to go into labor spontaneously. and I wanted to stay at home for as long as I could. And then ideally just pop over to the birth center, pop the baby out, have a shower, climb into bed. Like I just thought that sounded really nice. I thought I might like to be in the water. It was interesting though, when we went to the hatched antenatal, we went round the room and I was the only one that said I'd quite like to birth at the birth center. And from that point, Scott was kind of like, are you sure? Like, are we like making a bad call here? But I was kind of like, I've got a bit of almost like white coat fever, and just hospitals kind of give me a bit of an ick, and I just knew that I wanted to be somewhere where I felt safe and that was going to be more of like a home environment or birth center environment than a hospital.
Awesome, cool. And take us through I guess that final sort of week of pregnancy. How are you feeling? Was your pregnancy tracking okay? How far along did you end up, and then into your labor and birth story?
Cool. I honestly just had like a really cruisy pregnancy after that first trimester. Like I was really grateful. I didn't get too uncomfortable. I stayed really active. Didn't have any gnarly symptoms. I was like heavily pregnant over January and February. So it was quite hot.
Yeah.
I was very thankful that we live close enough to the sea that I could just go for a swim every day, because that was so nice. I had a bit of back pain, but it was nothing crazy. And then I honestly hit 38 weeks. I swear, like, the day I clicked over to 38 weeks, like, something just, like, clicked in my mind. And I was just, I'd been so chill this whole point, and I just felt like a hormonal wreck. Like, I felt like PMS on steroids. Yeah. Just don't even look at me or I might cry. So I was 38 and a half weeks, and I went to my acupuncture appointment. And I was just like, okay, I'm over it. Like, I'm not sleeping. I just feel really hormonal. I'm all over the place. I think I'm just ready for this baby to come out now. And he was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, just like give it your best shot, because it's not going to put me into labor if my body's not ready, you know? Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
So that was the Wednesday night. And then I woke up on the Thursday morning and I just like rolled over in bed. And I was like, that feels a little bit weird. But kind of, you know, anything goes at those last stages of pregnancy. But I got out of bed and I just felt this like water rushing down my legs, and I was like running to the bathroom, and then I sat down on the toilet and I was just like, gush. I was like, holy shit, those are my waters. And it was quite funny, actually, because this was the 29th of February, so it was, like, the leap day. And I was, classic. Like, this baby's going to be a leap day baby. Yeah. I just felt a little bit uneasy because I knew that, like, once your waters go, usually things just really ramp up. Like, I've heard of people having contractions just coming thick and fast. But that just wasn't really the case for me. It was pretty chill. I had a shower, washed my hair, had breakfast. Told Scott, like, go to work. I'll call you when I need you. It's not going to, like, happen quickly. And I was just having these really mild, kind of like period pains, like bad period pains, but they'd come kind of every 10 minutes and I should just manage them fine, breathe through them. And it just, it went on like that pretty much the whole day. Like, it would get more intense, they'd get a bit closer together and I'd be like, oh, that was a bit nasty. And then it would just kind of ease off. And it was really frustrating, to be honest.
That early stage of labor can just be so, and like, you're waiting for it to get to where it should be, and like, you might get points where you're like, oh, that was more painful, and then it just becomes nothing.
It was so frustrating. And I was talking to my midwife and she was great. She was like, honestly, just rest. I was like, should I be like out there curb walking trying to like put myself into active labor? And she was like, no, like, just rest. Like, lie on your left side. But she also did say, like, she called later that night and she was like, how are you doing? And I'm like, I'm fine. I just had burger fuel. It's pretty chill. And she said, okay, well, we're kind of on the clock. Like, we can't just let you rock around without waters. We actually need to meet at the hospital at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning if you haven't gone into active labor overnight. And we'd just have to give you antibiotics because of, you know, risk of infection for you and baby. So that was hard. I was just like, I think I just lay awake the whole night, just willing myself to go into active labor, researching what would happen at the hospital. Didn't want to go. It's pretty rough.
It is rough. And I think, like, it feels like your body's started the process. Like, you've gone into this spontaneous labor, your waters have broken on their own. And then it's like, well, why hasn't the next stage happened? Or like, frustrating.
Totally. So I just didn't go into, it didn't get any worse overnight. And I got up early that next morning. I think we were up at like 4, just like trying to have something to eat, getting everything organized that we needed because we knew we'd be going and like not coming back until we'd had a baby kind of thing. So we just headed into the hospital at 7 o'clock to meet my midwife. And again, like, it was so interesting, just that like change of environment going into the hospital. I think the contractions just like totally went away for a bit. It was interesting though, because it was like a really busy day at the hospital. So they were like, you're going to be straight in a delivery room, but we'll probably move you later because, you know, you're just here for an induction. You're not in active labor. Then we got there, I think she took some bloods, they put an IV in to do the antibiotics, and just went and made a plan for the induction. At that point, my midwife checked me and she was like, you're not even dilated. And it was just kind of, that was quite deflating too, because I was like, I have been having contractions for 24 hours now and they're doing nothing. Like, I've had I've missed a whole night of sleep and nothing's happened.
How did you feel about, like, knowing that you were going to be induced? Like, did you know much about inductions? Had you allowed yourself to listen to many stories or, like, learn more about them in your pregnancy? What were you sort of feeling there?
I definitely felt like I knew enough about them. I was really thankful that when they went away to make the plan was to give me the drinks rather than just go straight to the Syntocin drip. So I think it's like Misoprostol or something.
Misoprostol,
And yeah, that's the one. And I actually, like, as soon as I had the first one and my midwife left, I just like burst into tears. I actually just called, I called my auntie, she's a midwife in Auckland, and I was like, I'm being induced and I don't want to be induced and like, I don't want to be here. And she was great. She was like, look, like, your body is trying, like, you're already like halfway there kind of thing. You've got a sensitive wee, like, constitution. Like, I actually just think these drinks are going to kick you into active labour and that will be it. So that made me feel like a lot better about the whole situation. And she was like, look, like if you're shattered, like just get an epidural. And I'd like spoken to so many people, so many friends in my pregnancy, and they were like, honestly, get the epidural. Like it was like the best thing, my best decision I ever made in my entire life. And I was like, yeah, like I actually think these people are onto something here. Like my whole birth now is not going to be what I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
But let's just like get into active labor, get an epidural on board, have a sleep, can be a nice, calm birth. Like, great. I'll have more babies, hopefully. Like, I can have that birth another time. So I just then felt a bit more uplifted. Like, I had more of a plan and it wasn't hopefully going to be too awful. Yeah. And then from then we went to, like, move the car. Then we went and got a coffee. They said, like, go for a walk. And I think we were standing in a cafe and I had, like, the first, like, quite hectic contraction. And I was like, oh, gosh, like... this is kind of ramping up. Went back to the room and they gave me another one of those drinks. Again, they were like, go for a walk, like, you know, wander around, go to the rooftop garden at Tauranga Hospital. So we did. We went out there and there's just like all these people having like a lunch break kind of thing. And I just had this like hectic contraction. I just like cried. I was like, I do not want to be in this garden with people. Like, get me back to like the privacy of our little room. So we went back there and like they just really ramped up real quick. I think they started coming kind of every 3 minutes, about 45 seconds long, and I was just like leaning over the bed, like swaying from side to side, couldn't talk. I was just like, oh, this is labor. And I think they came back to give me another drink at about, it was about lunchtime by this point, almost like 1 p.m. And I was just like not coping. And I was kind of like, okay, like think I'm ready for my epidural now. Like I'd really like to be checked. And, cause I knew you had to be about 3 or 4 centimeters before they'll give you an epidural. And they were really hesitant. The midwife was kind of like, oh, you know, like your waters have broken. Like, it's risk of infection. The more checks that we do, you need to, like, consent to the risks. And I was like, I consent to the risks. Like, please check me. She had to go away and get permission. The hospital midwife, this was. So my midwife had left and I was just under the care of the hospital midwife. So she would be called back once I was in active labor. And I was like, yes, please check me. So she did at about 2 o'clock. And by this point, I was just like, this is full-blown labor kind of thing. She checked me at 2 p.m. and I just remember, like, she looked at me and she was like, yep, so your cervix is too far back for me to reach, which means it's not a laboring cervix.
Yeah.
And I was just like, are you kidding me? I just, like, I've been in labor for 30 hours by now and we're still, like, not even past a centimeter. And then she left the room and I think I just like cried. And Scott had been in touch with my midwife and I'd talked to my auntie. We were talking to them and they both said like, get her in the shower. Like she'll really like it. And I didn't want to because I had my TENS machine on and I was just like, this is the only thing that is like getting me through. I just don't want to take this off so that I can get in the water. I remember that feeling,
like so reliant on the TENS machine.
Like the relationship you have with it.
Yeah.
But I did. I was like, okay, like everyone's saying get in the shower, so I'll get in the shower. And that was...
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm so glad I did. That was actually really nice. And then about 2:30, so about half an hour later, there was a shift change at the hospital. So a new hospital midwife came in to introduce herself and she was so lovely. She was just an angel. She's a little bit older and I could just tell she was a bit more experienced. She'd seen a lot of births. And I think she like looked at me and she was like, oh, this is like not early labor. And she straight away went and got the gas hooked up so I could have the gas in the shower, which was amazing. She said to Scott that he could have some too if he wanted. I think he must have just like looked like he needed it.
Yeah.
We were just in the shower, and I think the gas, like, it didn't take the pain away, but it kind of just made me relax a little bit more in between the contractions, rather than just staying so tense the whole time. Yeah. I really liked it.
Yeah,
and I just remember this beautiful midwife, she looked at me and she was like, darling, like, sometimes it's really hard now and it means that the next part is going to go really quickly.
Mm.
And I just, it's like, I want to believe you, but honestly, yeah. I just don't.
Yeah.
And I thought that I was in the shower for like 20 minutes, but turns out I was in there for like 2 hours. And I just went to some pretty dark places, just telling myself, like, oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing. I can't believe you thought you could do this without drugs.
Yeah.
Like, you're not even in labor and you can't handle it. Yeah, it was pretty rough.
Yeah.
And then it was about 3:30 by this point, and I just started to get the shakes. Like, I was just, like, uncontrollably shaking.
Yeah.
And suddenly said, I don't want the gas anymore. Like, this is making me feel sick. I think I'm going to be sick. It just felt awful.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, just, like, come and lay down on the bed. Like, lie down on your left side. Just, like, have a rest. Which was awful. Because now I was out of the shower, didn't have the TENS machine. I was just, like, lying on the bed. And yeah. I was at the point, I just remember thinking in my head, like, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do this. Like, knock me out, cut me open. Just, like, make it stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was about 3:30. And then I said to them, I'm, like, feeling it in my back and my bum. And they said, are you sure, like, is it staying in between contractions or is it, like, just with the contractions? And I waited a little bit and I was like, no, like, I'm pretty sure it's staying between contractions. And this lovely midwife, she just looked at me, she's like, I'm just gonna, like, check you, just, like, roll over, open my legs. And then she reached up and I just saw the shock on her face. She was like, you're fully dilated, like, that's baby's head.
Oh my gosh, right now.
Oh my gosh, just like the shock of I can do this and I am doing this and my body isn't broken. Like, we're doing this. I think Scott cried at that point. It was just like the whole past few hours had actually just been worth it.
It's such a isn't it so hard, like, the feeling of I've been in labor for this long and I've not got anywhere and this is never going to end, and like the getting caught up in that cycle of, like, being checked, you're 1 centimeter, being checked, you're still 1 centimeter, like, that mindset. And then this is just such a good example of how quickly things can change. Like, 100%. You just have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, it was, oh, that feeling was just such a relief. But then there was also this in my head of, like, I'm not mentally prepared. Like, I just wanted to get my epidural. But it was amazing how fast, like, the little baby setup came down in the room and she was like, I've got to call your midwife. I just remember looking back at the text on my phone between Scott and my midwife, and all of a sudden it's like, Lauren's fully dilated and she's just, like, on my way, like, 2 seconds later. And yeah, thank God we were already in a delivery room at that point, because there was just, like, no moving me anywhere. I remember her saying, like, don't, you can have a little push if you feel pushy, like, don't feel like you need to, just, like, go with it, do what you need to do. I turned around so that I was, like, facing on kind of all fours, but, like, leaning over the bed. And I stayed like that for quite a while. It was quite funny, actually, because when we got to the hospital, the lovely student midwife had handed me, like, one of those combs. And she was oh, you might really like this. Like, squeeze it when you get contractions. And I, like, looked at it and I was like, this is not going to do anything. And then, like, at that point, I was, like, squeezing this comb so hard. There was just no taking it off me.
Yeah.
Leaning over the back of that bed. It was all, like, a little bit of a blur, but I just remember then my midwife came into the room, her student came, and it was just like, oh, you're here. The relief of that person that you've kind of just, like, built a relationship with the past 9 months. I was kind of nervous that she wasn't going to make it. But that was a massive relief. And she said, okay, cool. Like, now we've done an hour of, I think she called it passive descent. Like, wasn't really pushing, just kind of letting the baby come down on his own. She was like, we can, like, start pushing now. So that was weird. I honestly, like, I thought I would enjoy the pushing phase, But I just found it like I would like give a really big push and then the contraction would end and he would just like kind of suck back up. And it was like, I'm just like not getting anywhere. Like, and kind of like the more I pushed, the more intense it would get. And I was kind of just like shying away from that a little bit. They were trying to get me to put one leg up, so I was kind of in like a bit of a lunge and then like swap legs, but I just found like moving around really uncomfortable. And then my midwife said, okay, like I know what's going to work for you. I've got an idea. We'll roll you over so that you're sitting on the bed with the back of the bed was up. We put my legs out kind of in like a little bit of a squat, like my feet were up on the bed. And then she held on to two ends of like a sheet, a bed sheet, and gave me like some to hold. So she said, like, when you get a contraction, pull it as hard as you can, almost like you're doing like a seated row, and push at the same time. And that really worked for me. Like, I don't know what it was about this, like, pushing, pulling. It just, like, I actually felt like I was making progress. And it was funny because this whole time I was like, I don't want to give birth on my back in the bed, you know, all of this research that I've done. But I did, and it was amazing. Then when the baby started to get closer, I think she called another midwife to come in. So they had the two midwives and the student. And honestly, like, the vibes in the room were actually great. Like, it was pretty calm. There was never a worry about me or baby. We had the Yui Boom on and they were kind of like, this is a good song to have a baby to. Like, let's have a baby by 6 p.m. kind of thing. Just, yeah, it was really nice. Just got more and more intense and they held the warm compress on my perineum, which I found really good. Eventually, like, his head came out and they were like, you can reach down and touch that if you want. I was kind of like, no, thank you. I'm okay. And then they said to Scott, are you going to deliver him? And he was like, yeah. And then I think he was like, oh gosh, when he like had a proper look down there. But the midwife was like, no, you'll regret it if you don't. So they coached me through the whole thing really well. And then eventually, like, he came out. The midwife grabbed Scott's hands. Scott grabbed him and put him up on my chest. And, like, oh, it was just the biggest relief. I think it was maybe 45 minutes, an hour pushing in the end. He came out just screaming, like, inconsolable. It was really beautiful. I did kind of expect that I would feel this rush of like, oh my god, I love you so much, that's my baby, but it was just like, thank god that's over.
I know, it's so funny. Like, I think there's definitely people who do, and I've had lots of people on the podcast who are like, oh my god, there's my baby, I'm so in love with this person, like, this is amazing. And then there's also a lot of like, holy fuck, I'm just so glad that that's like done. The me. Relief I that feel was from that. Like, this so is great, intense. But it's done.
Oh, just the relief of once that baby comes out, man. Insane. So amazing. We did the delayed cord clamping after that. I think they had to leave a little bit of blood in it to be tested because I was negative blood type. And then unlucky for me, he came back positive. And then it's quite a weird feeling too when this baby's on your chest and then you're still having contractions. Like this should be over now. But they gave me the injection in the leg to get the placenta out pretty quickly. And that was pretty chill. It was pretty like non-event. Once you've had a baby, this little organ
slides on out.
Fine. So chill.
Amazing. And did you need any stitches from your birth?
No. I remember my midwife, she's like, I'm just gonna check down there, and she was like having a little feel around, and she was like, not a single tear. Praise. Like, amazing. And
I was like, so good. Thank god. Do you remember that being like, because I've only ever had that with an epidural, so like you can't really feel when they're like having a good look around figuring out what's going on. Do you remember that being really painful, or were you just sort of like still pretty high on the adrenaline and
that was like such a non-event for me. I think maybe it might have been more painful if there was like a tear there, but it felt pretty fine. I think it was funny, like once he was out I just felt so like depleted, and we had these juice boxes that I thought, like, I'd heard would be good in labor.
Yeah.
And they were, like, these pretty big ones, and Scott was just holding them up, and I was just smashing, like, one after the other. I think I had, like, I don't know, three of them in a row, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm back.
Now I'm back to life. Amazing. And did he latch on while he was on your chest?
Yeah, it took a little bit of work because he was just, like, just wanted to scream, but we eventually like got him on and he had a bit of a feed, which was really cool.
Amazing. And so talk us through the next couple of hours. Like, did you get up and have a shower? Did Scott have a hold? Like, take us through the next little while.
Yeah, it was all like a little bit surreal, to be honest. But I remember they took Artie away to have his like checks, and Scott went with them. And then they got him dressed, and then my midwife helped me have a shower, which is such a weird feeling. Like, I think they put, like, a towel between my legs just to go from, like, the bed to the bathroom, like, just so much blood. And I remember they were saying, like, you need to pee before you can be discharged. Like, try and pee in the shower. And I just remember standing in the shower, like, trying to pee, but, like, just could not figure out how. But I got there in the end.
I think that's one, like, that's a really good point to make. If, like, when you're in hospital and you give birth, like, even if it's drug-free like yours was, they will make you wee before you go anywhere. And they, like, either what they want to hear it or they want to be, like, really sure that you've done it in the shower.
I think I went from the shower to the toilet, back to the shower, like, just trying, like, eventually got there.
Yeah.
The bathroom just looked like an absolute, like, murder scene. It was horrific.
Yeah.
And then my midwife helped me, like, dry off and, like, get dressed. I felt like such a child. She was helping, like, step into, like, a big adult nappy. But, yeah, then it was, like, Artie was all good. I was all good. We both had all our, like, obs taken. And we just, like, chilled out, had some cuddles with him while they did paperwork. And, called up the birth center, and thankfully there was a room. I didn't think there would be, just because they told us, like, hospital was so busy. But there was a room, so he was born at 6 and we left by 8. It was really amazing. Straightforward. Really good.
And how did you find the birth center? What was your experience like there?
It was amazing. I think what surprised me the most is, like, honestly, that high that I felt after the birth. Like, we had told our family, like, we'll let you know when we're ready for visitors. Don't know how I'm going to feel. It might be a bit traumatic. We might just want to be in a bubble for a few days. But I was honestly, like, calling my parents in the car on the way to the birth center. They were at our house looking after the dog. And I was like, meet us in the car park. Like, visiting hours are over, but come and see my baby. It was so nice. So they met us in the car park, bought us some dinner, because we'd missed food at the birth center. And then we went into our room. That Bethlehem birth center is amazing. It just feels like you're going into, like, a hotel room.
Such a difference than being in the hospital too, right? Like, you get your own room.
And I was so scared that if there wasn't a room, because they wanted to check up on both of us because of the whole, I think they called him, like, a prom baby, like premature rupture of membranes. So he had to be observed for 24 hours. So they would want us to stay and Scott would have to go home. So the fact that there was a room at birth center and we could be checked at birth center was such a relief.
That does make such a difference. And how did you find, like, the first couple of nights? How did you go with breastfeeding? Talk us through what your initial experience was like.
It all went relatively well. I was super thankful that Artie latched on pretty well from the get-go. Didn't really get any nipple damage or anything like that. The midwives at the birth center were so amazing. They were just like, we want you to leave here feeling like breastfeeding is going well. So, like, if you ever, like, day or night want us to just pop in and check your latch, like, just push the button. So that was really good. I guess the one thing that I found kind of confusing was that, like, lots of midwives would say, oh, no, it shouldn't hurt. And I was like, but it does hurt. But I think it's just those early days. Like, you've never had a small human, like, suck on your nipple for hours. Like, they just kind, like, of have to toughen up.
No, I agree. I think it's, like, it shouldn't hurt to the point where it's, like, so painful that you don't want to do it. But, like, from, well, definitely from my experience, like, it took a while for my nipples to like toughen up and just not be so sensitive.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And even like at first, I remember like the letdown was really painful. And then you'd start feeding and you'd have those like cramps in your uterus.
Yeah, yeah.
It was quite a lot, really.
Yeah, yeah.
But honestly, like those few days at the birth centre, I was just on such a high. And even when we got to the visiting hours the next day, I was like, everyone come. Like all of our family, just come and meet the baby. Yeah. I was just handing him around. He was sleeping on everyone. And I was really surprised by that because I just didn't expect to feel so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. And did you go home, like, after a couple of nights? How did you find that transition from the birth centre where you've got, like, quite a lot of support in terms of the midwives there to them being home and on your own? And, yeah, talk us through the next couple of weeks with a newborn at home.
Yeah, so we stayed two nights at the birth centre. It was kind of only one full day because we got there so late at night. And then we came home. It feels so weird, just, like, putting him in his capsule to drive home. You're like, are you sure that we're, like, qualified? But, no, as soon as we got home, my midwife called in to check. So that was kind of nice just to, like, feel like he was still all good, you know? But it was really nice those first few days. Scott just, like, it's kind of weird because you're doing so much feeding, and I think Scott just felt a little bit like there wasn't really much he could do aside from just look after me, feed me, make sure I had my water bottle. And, like, I think nappies became his thing. He was like, I've got this. Like, this is the one thing I can do. I can do the nappies. Yeah, and I kind of expected, everyone warned me that when your milk comes in, you can get baby blues around that day three mark. The milk coming in was pretty hectic. I was just not really prepared for that at all.
Did you feel, like, fluey? Like, so I remember feeling, like, hot and like a bit like I was getting a cold and I was like, what the hell is going on?
I didn't feel like fluey as such, but I just remember it happened so quick. Like, I was quite tired. I've kind of just like eventually crashed at this point. I was like, okay, I need sleep. And I had a nap on our bed and I woke up and I was like, holy, like my boobs are like rocks. Like, they were so full and they'd like leaked everywhere, all over our bed, all over our duvet. It was quite funny. I actually like had to take a photo and I was like sending it to my friends because I've like pre-pregnancy, I was just like so flat chested, like never really wore bras, not even filling like an A cup. And they were like, oh wow, that's like double D. So it's just, I'm glad I took that photo though, because it didn't last for very long, the whole full look.
Yeah, awesome. And how did you find, like, what did you and Scott do in terms of the night feeds and, like, overnight wakes? And, yeah, talk us through just how you found the adjustment to the totally different life that you live once you've got a newborn.
It's so crazy, eh? All of a sudden, like, your longest sleep is, like, 3 or 4 hours. I kind of, like, Scott is a really deep sleeper. I'm so jealous. But he, like, won't even wake up.
It's a when dad thing, cries. Honestly. It's a dad thing.
It's actually insane.
Yeah.
And kind of when he was off work, he took 2 weeks off work. He would kind of, like, get up and he'd be like, you okay? And can I do anything? Can I get you more water? Do you want a snack? Kind of thing, which was nice. But very quickly, especially when he went back to work, I was kind of like, there's no point both of us being tired. Like, he's a builder. He works with power tools all day. I was like, the last thing I want is you, like, going to work sleep deprived, you know? I can do this. And I think it's hard sometimes. You do, as much as you just logically know that that's just the way it is, you do feel a bit resentful of, I'm up 3 times a night and you're sleeping through the night.
I remember looking at Joe, like, snoring when I was feeding Ali, and I was just thinking, I fucking hate you. Like, look at you there, having this peaceful sleep. I'm like, I feel like I'm going to die in 1 minute from being so exhausted. I know, it's just,
And I'd just, like, sit in our bed feeding, and sometimes he'd, like, roll over and just, like, put his hand on my leg. And I was like, I don't know if this, like, pisses me off. I feel like it does.
Stop touching me. I'm angry at you. And how did you go with, like, the adjustment, I guess, in your relationship? Like, it's just such a huge change. You go from being, like, each other's priority and, like, relatively carefree, and then all of a sudden you've got a baby and your attention totally shifts and, like, everything's so different. So how did you go, with that relationship adjustment?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I just feel like all of a sudden I'm so just like tunnel visioned on Artie. Mm. And even like probably like a weekend, we just like went out for like a nice walk.
Yeah.
And Scott was like, oh, let's get a coffee. And it's like, oh, let's walk a bit further because I need to go to the toilet. And in my head, I was just like, oh my gosh, this baby, like he's been asleep for this long. Like yeah. he's going to wake up. He's going to be hungry. You're yeah. so just like focused on them.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it kind of doesn't hit for the dad the same way. But no, he's been great. He is kind of like, he's just always just telling me like, you're so good at this. You're yeah. such an amazing mom. You're doing yeah. so well. And it's just like really nice. I think his mind is just blown by the whole thing. It's yeah. kind of, he said to me, I've just never felt so useless in my life.
Yeah.
You know, you like grew him, you birthed him, you're still yeah. growing him now with your body. It's just like wild. Women are amazing. And I was yeah. like, Yeah, we are.
And I think it's funny, isn't it? Like I quite often get dads will message me like on Kiwi Birth Tales and be like, my wife just had this baby and I feel useless. Can you please help me? Like, what can I do that will make a difference for her? Yeah. My response is always like, just do everything else. Like
yeah.
if she's breastfeeding and therefore she's up all the time with the baby and like that's your sole focus, you do everything else. Like,
yeah,
100%. Get the house tidy, do the cleaning, do the nappies, wash the bottles if you're using bottles. Like, there's all of those things that don't feel like, probably to a dad, like, I'm fucking useless and I'm not doing anything. Actually, that makes a huge difference in the long term, I think.
For sure. And Scott's such an active relaxer too. Like, he needed to feel like he was doing yeah. something. Otherwise, yeah. he'd just go a bit, like, batshit crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, we actually read this book while I was pregnant. It was quite new. It was Dr. Golly, who's like Melbourne pediatrician that specializes in babies. It was called Your Baby Doesn't Come With a Book. But it was really good. It just talked about like the number one thing dads can do is look after the breastfeeding mother.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just look after her, let her take care of the baby kind of thing. And those, it's about the first 4 weeks. Yeah. So it's not like forever.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Then he just felt like he was being really useful.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's good. And did you experience like any of the other sort of postpartum things that can come up, like the night sweats or like any of those, postpartum things?
Yeah, definitely the sweats. And I also just wasn't prepared for how much you just like leak all the time.
So it's messy. You need like
so excessive.
Yeah, a new sheet every day.
Yeah, I just wake up. I remember just waking up and being like, I don't even know if this is sweat or milk. Mm. Like, this is just disgusting.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you're so tired and you're just like, I'll just flip my pillow over and go to sleep. Like, I'll just deal with this in the morning.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a lot.
Yeah.
But also, thankfully, I do feel like on a whole, my recovery was actually really good. I think not having any tears or anything was really good. And yeah, I was up and moving, went for a walk about 5 days later, which was weird because you get to a point and you're like, I don't think I can make it back to the car. Mm. Like, my insides are going to fall out.
Yeah, I remember my midwife saying that to me. I was like, oh, I'm going to go out for a walk today. And she's like, okay, but just go like half the distance that you think you should because you have to get back home.
Yeah, you just don't think to turn around and then it's too late.
Yeah, amazing. And did you use any products or anything like in that postpartum healing period that you found helpful? Like, I know lots of people use like peri wash bottles when they go to the toilet or like freeze pads and things like that. Were you doing anything to help with your recovery?
I did at first. I had a lot of that stuff on hand. I'd bought it beforehand. But I used it a little bit at first at the birth center, and then I was kind of like, actually, it all feels pretty good. Like, I don't think I need this, which was just like a nice surprise. But I found those Silverette cups amazing. I reckon they just saved my nipples, to be honest. Just like the thought in those first few days of like not having something between your nipples and a bra
gives me the shivers just
literally.
And
I also really loved I think a lot of brands do them now, but like the leak-proof bras that are made from the same stuff as the period undies, they're just like a game changer.
Yeah, they didn't have those when I, well, I didn't know about them if they did when I had Ali and Jai, but I've just seen Hot Milk have got some of those and they look amazing,
Yeah, Hot Milk have them. I think I've got a couple of Bonds ones. Lots of brands because you just feel like you're trying to get ready for the day and you have to think about like putting a pad on down there and then putting like nipple pads on like. It's just a lot.
It's a lot of maintenance.
Yeah.
Amazing. Cool. And how are you feeling now? Like when you look back at your birth and obviously it didn't start off how you wanted it to. How do you feel when you reflect on it now?
I just think it's so funny. Like, and I just think it's so true what you say. Like, it's not about the birth that you get in the end, but it's about how you feel about it. Because that was just, I didn't want to have a hospital birth. I didn't want to be induced. I didn't want antibiotics. I didn't want all this stuff. But I look back and I was like, I love my birth. Like, that was a great birth. It's interesting too, I think your brain also blocks out a lot of like the worst of it, like for good reason. But even just the fact that I'd kind of given up on myself, I was like, I just want an epidural, like, let's just get to 3 centimeters and then we'll just sleep and chill. But then I kind of did it anyway. I feel like I just felt so empowered by it. Just the best feeling in the world. I think too, it was interesting, I just put a lot of pressure on myself, like, in the lead up to my birth, to work on, like, my mental strength or, like, my mindset. And I remember saying to Scott, like, as soon as I lose it mentally, like, it's all over. Like, I just have to keep my head in the game kind of thing. But in the end, I just completely lost it mentally and my body did the job. So if I did it again, I wouldn't stress too much about that, to be honest.
Amazing. And is there anything else that you think we haven't talked about that you want to include in your story?
I guess it was just like a massive learning for me that even when things don't go to plan, you can still have a really positive experience. And just a massive lesson in control, I guess. Like, my whole journey of trying to conceive to pregnancy and birth, like, was just so many lessons in, like, actually you can't control this. But it's all happening as it should.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Lauren, for coming on the podcast today and sharing your story with us. I've really loved talking to you. I love that you had, like, such a different birth to how you probably thought it was going to play out when you were, like, standing in the shower thinking, like, you suck. Like, this isn't even labor. You're that, you know, all of those things, to then being like, oh my God, I'm fully dilated. And I was doing it the whole time. And I just, I think I love that. So yeah, just so grateful that you're willing to come on and share with us. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed this chat.
No problem. Thanks for joining me on this week's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. I hope you've enjoyed Lauren's story today. As always, I am so grateful to be in your ears and I can't wait to bring you another birth story next week. Talk soon.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.